Radio Prague News.
A Czech has been cleared of having the mayor's virus. The new education minister has been officially appointed, and the upper house has rejected proposed higher speeds on some stretches of motorway. The 25-year-old Czech who was placed in isolation in a Prague hospital after returning from South Korea with a cold and fever and was suspected of having the MERS virus has been given the all clear. The hospital said the tests found no traces of the killer virus. Around 20 people have died in South Korea after one of the worst outbreaks of MERS so far outside the Middle East, where it was identified first in 2012. Katerina Valachová was officially appointed Minister of Education by President Miloš Zeman on Wednesday during a ceremony at Prague Castle. Valachová takes over from Marcel Chládek, who was dismissed on June the 5th following fresh reports of bullying his staff. Valachová, who's been appointed by the Social Democrat Party, was formerly a deputy minister responsible for human rights. She said she came to broad agreement with the head of state about the ministry's goals during a meeting last week to pave the way for her appointment. Valachová, who is being appointed as an independent, is the first ministerial switch made by the Social Democrats in the current government. The upper house of the Czech Parliament, the Senate, has rejected a proposal for the speed limit on certain stretches of motorway to be raised from 130 km an hour to 150 km an hour. The increase was suggested by the lower house. It was opposed by both the Minister of Transport and Head of State, President Miloš Zeman, who said it would cause more deaths and injuries and that he would in any case block it. A proposal that police powers to breathalyse cyclists for alcohol be taken away except when accidents occurred was rejected by the Senate. Leader of the Czech Christian Democrats and Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek has taken a slightly more open stance on the question of accepting refugees in the Czech Republic than most other political leaders. In a statement, the party leader said the country should help those who are fleeing for their lives. How many refugees the country could accept depended on its capacity to deal with them, but Bělobrádek said he estimated that capacity to be around 1,000 a year. He added that it was necessary to distinguish between political refugees and immigrants seeking a better life in more developed countries. And finally, in football, Czech and Sparta Prague defender Pavel Kaderabek is to transfer to German league club Hoffenheim. The 23-year-old has agreed a 4-year contract. A replacement has been found in the form of the experienced German player Markus Steinhofer, who in the past played for Salzburg, Kaiserslautern, Basel and Betis Sevilla. Congolese attacker Franci Lisinghi has also been signed from Teplice. Hoffenheim were 8th in the top German league last season. I'm Chris Johnston and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's programme, Prague lowers the price of annual transport passes and the European Under-21 Football Championship gets underway in Prague on Wednesday. And in Marketplace, we look at a Polish grab for the Czech rail cargo market. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Prague City Hall has made good on the promise to improve conditions for public transport passengers. As of Wednesday, anyone buying the city's annual transit pass will pay 1,100 crowns less. According to Prague Public Transit, the lower price should see a significant increase in yearly ticket sales. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Passengers who failed to buy new annual passes at the beginning of the year had good reason to wait, after City Hall, in agreement with the Prague Public Transit Company, promised to lower the price of the annual city transit pass effective July the 1st. Until now, holders of the pass had to pay 4,750 crowns. Now they will pay just 3,650. The math is easy. It comes to just 10 crowns per day per year, which many consider good value as the pass is good not only for the metro, but all of the city's trams and buses. The drop in price for the annual pass will see the firm, however, which has revenues of 4 billion, end with an expected loss of 400 million crowns. The head of the Prague Public Transit Company, Jaroslav Gyuriš, spoke to Czech TV.
I want to stress that the change in the tariff was a decision made by City Hall in order to get more people to use the public transit system. We expect to see a rise in the year-long pass holders of between 20 and 25%. Given that only around 12% of annual pass holders have waited until now to buy the lower tariff pass, I expect there will be no financial problems in 2015.
An increase in new customers switching to public transport is not expected to unduly burden the existing system, although pressed on the issue, the head of the Prague Public Transit Company, Jaroslav Gyuriš, did admit the city's C metro line was at greater risk of being swamped by passengers, as the line is already maxed out at peak hours. The head of the transit company again.
We are ready for a greater influx. It is, of course, a question of money. Based on what the city commissions, we are able to increase, for example, above ground transit. The C line could be a problem because peak times already see full capacity. It depends on what the city will want. When you order something in a restaurant, you don't blame the waiter for bringing what you asked for.
The cost in the price of the annual pass is also not the only change championed by the current coalition in Prague. A parent traveling with a baby or toddler up to the age of 3 will no longer have to pay, while dog owners will no longer have to buy tickets for their canine friends. Deputy Mayor Petr Dolínek told journalists on Wednesday how he saw the benefits.
I believe that lowering the price of the annual pass will have a strong social impact, and that those who failed to use the transit system before will begin to do so now.
Petr Dolínek ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Now, the biggest football tournament ever held in the Czech Republic gets underway on Wednesday evening with the opening game of the European Under-21 Championship between the hosts and Denmark at Prague's Eden Stadium. Who are the big stars to watch out for, and how far can the Czechs go? Ian Willoughby put those questions to journalist Michal Petrák, but he first asked him what hosting the tournament means for Czech soccer.
As Pavel Nedvěd yesterday said at the press conference, this might be the only generation of players who are able or who have a chance to play an under-21 championship on their home soil, so it means very much.
Well, Nedvěd was saying also that it would be a success for the Czechs to get out of their group. The group also includes Denmark, Germany and Serbia. What would you consider a success for the Czech Republic in this tournament?
The same. If you look at the squads of the opponents, there are players who regularly play for big European clubs, who have much more experience. There were some problems in putting together the Czech squad, like Watford didn't let Matěj Vidra go, which is, I think, a huge blow for the team. I think getting out of the group would be considered a success.
What players in particular are you looking forward to seeing? I know many people would like to see, for example, Harry Kane for England.
Yes, of course. There are several very interesting players. Like tonight we are going to see Fischer in the Denmark team. German team is full of young and gifted players. Let's name Ter Stegen, who is a Champions League winner. Yeah, there are many players in all of the squads who are of interest.
Is this tournament a chance for some Czech players to put themselves in the kind of European shop window? I'm thinking of players like the defender Tomáš Kalas from Chelsea, who's always out on loan from Chelsea, or Václav Kadlec, who's now back at Sparta Prague.
Yes, I think most of the players take it as a chance. There were some obvious names who would be high on the shopping lists of the big clubs, regardless of whether they are playing on at the Euros or they are not. For example, Pavel Kadeřábek has gone today to Hoffenheim in the German Bundesliga. And I think the names you mentioned are pretty obvious that they will be looking forward to some kind of exposure.
I remember in 2002, the Czechs won the Under-21 Championship with players like Petr Cech, Hibšman, mm-hmm. Baroš, Grigera, Martin Jiránek. Is there any chance, mm-hmm. do you think, that this generation could repeat that great success?
Well, there is small chance. As I mentioned, name-wise, the squad can't be considered as a favorite to win the Euros. But I think this outsider's position suits the Czechs pretty well, because they are used to it. Like, as we mentioned, Nedved, he remembered Euro 1996 in England, where the Czechs also had a tough group and also were considered one of the outsiders of the whole tournament. But in the end, they reached the final. So I think the main propositions or the main conditions for them to succeed is team play, which is really something which is traditional for the Czech teams at such tournaments. They will have to play as a team, they will have to choose good tactics, and they will have to hope that their opponents like Germans or Denmark, which are really name-wise stronger teams, won't have their best day the day of the game.
Journalist Michal Petrák talking there to my colleague Ian Willoughby. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Central European rail cargo companies have traditionally grabbed a much bigger share of the market for shipping goods than their Western European peers. But competition across the region is stepping up, and a long-expected consolidation has just occurred, with Polish rail freight company PKP Cargo just buying out the second biggest Czech rail cargo company, AWT. Chris Johnston has more in this week's edition of Marketplace.
Central European rail cargo companies traditionally have solid results, but competition with road hauliers has stepped up across the region, and the rail companies themselves are trying to buy new trains and wagons and at the same time trim their debts and workforce. Rumours of pending mergers and acquisitions across the region have been legion, with many of the state-owned rail cargo companies, such as Czech company Čerté Cargo and its Slovak counterpart, looking vulnerable on their own. But the pacemaker in the expected wave of consolidation has come out of Poland in the form of PKP Cargo, created out of the former state railway company and launched on the Warsaw Stock Exchange at the end of 2013, with the state rail company conserving around a third of the shares. Most of its rivals in the region are still fully state-owned. PKP is the second biggest rail company in the whole of Europe, with more than 3,500 locomotives and 60,000 freight wagons. It snapped up the Czech cargo company AWT, which specialises in the transport of coal, steel and materials for the car industry, out of Ostrava, with a fleet of more than 160 locomotives and 5,100 wagons. Adam Pervin is the chairman of the board of PKP Cargo and was in Prague last week to explain the Czech purchase and outline his company's strategy for the whole of Central Europe. I asked him, first of all, whether the 80% stake in AWT had been bought mainly for the company itself or its strategic position on the Czech market.
We were definitely looking for a small private company to grow faster in the north-south corridor connecting Baltic Sea and Adriatic Sea. So I think it's both. First, it's first international M&A of PKP Cargo, which is second largest operator in the European Union. AWT is number two player on the Czech market, and it gives us a unique opportunity to grow on the foreign market first. And due to the scale of the operation of AWT, which is very lean, well-operating company, we are not strong in the restructuring process of the company, and we, I believe, can run very fast in terms of growing on this market.
Aren't you afraid of the fact that there is a state cargo company, Čerté Cargo, which has about three quarters of the market, and obviously the Czech state wouldn't like to see it diminish too much?
We rather focus on the quality of the service of our company and try to come up with an attractive offer to our customers. So we rather focus on the proper service of the customers rather than, you know, building the kind of alternative program competing with CEDE based with the Czech government. We rather focus on a day-to-day operation, and that's the main goal of the team of PKP Cargo in AWT.
But CEDE Cargo is one of your main competitors, both on other European markets or Central European markets and on the Czech market with the AWT having 8%. I mean, it's your acquisition's main competitor.
Of course, but again, long term, these are the customers who will decide which offer to accept. So we focus on building the best offer in the region. We are very well positioned to do that because we own our fleet. We own the part of the infrastructure, which are the terminals. We want to leverage the Central European location on the cross of the main transportation corridor. So I believe this, and plus, of course, the very good financial position of the company. We're only public listed with access to the equity, and the company is also not leveraged. So we have capacity to invest in a new fleet. So again, this all is rather to deliver the good quality service to the customers rather than fighting against others.
You mentioned your plans to use the Paskov terminal outside Ostrava. Why there? I mean, in a sense, it's not so far from Poland, and presumably you have terminals on the other side of the border. So why should this terminal at Paskov be so useful to you?
The tricky thing is that there's a different traction system in Poland and Czech Republic, so we always need number of locos to operate things properly, and the level of the containerization in Poland and in the Central European Union is 6 times lower than average in the European Union, and it shows the capacity of the market, and the market shall grow in double digit in the coming years. So I believe we would be in position to use the full capacity of all these terminals. And obviously the Paskov is closer to the Czech market, so I believe this is a great opportunity to grow in the region as well.
And you mentioned the north-south corridor as strategic for you, but are there so many goods being transported north-south now between, say, the Baltic North Sea and the Adriatic?
We see that corridor as a growing opportunity. First, because of the modernization of the infrastructure in this part of the Europe, which means that we are right now just building the product based on the improved infrastructure, and you can see that by increased volumes of Polish ports on the Baltic Sea. These are the double-digit growths. And there is also a lot of investment in, for example, Croatian ports. And we hear, obviously, that the Chinese are buying the Piraeus port and other Greece ports. So also the corridor connecting Asia and East with Europe is, let me say, under pressure because of the very difficult situation in Ukraine. So we see the North-South corridor as an alternative corridor to other corridors that are now having difficulties, or this is also kind of the new deal in terms of the logistic map of the Europe, because we would be then in position to build kind of the triangle between the North Sea, Baltic Sea and the Adriatic Sea. So I believe it's all coming to the market.
But in one way, your real competitor is road haulage, both Central Europe and Poland as well. I mean, can you eat into their market share realistically?
Absolutely. This is definitely the name of the game that we're going to play in another coming years, together with improvement of the infrastructure, especially in Poland. In Poland, roughly 80% of goods are transported by the trucks. That's basically due to the improvement of the road infrastructure in Poland, and again, no entry barriers to the truckers comparing to the railway business. So the infrastructure will definitely support the growth of the railway business in Central Eastern Europe.
Are there similar acquisition opportunities in other countries?
We're looking at different targets in different countries. We are in position to consolidate the market. We have financial strength to do that, and we have also a lot of synergies that can be offered due to the number of locos and wagons that we possess today. The assets are not heavily leveraged, so I believe there is a lot of capacity in the consolidation of the market, and we are looking at different targets.
Actually, Pervin admits that other acquisition talks are ongoing, but he's reluctant to say anything more on that. Meanwhile, the Czech Train Drivers Union warned this week that the company ČT Cargo is preparing to cut around 560 jobs from the current workforce of around 7,300. It warns in an open letter to the Transport Minister that cargo volume is down in the first quarter of the year and that the financial figures are once again in the red. ČT Cargo says no final decision has yet been taken.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnston brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.